team this morning. It is a joy to be here. I appreciate a great honor to be asked to speak at this occasion. Don't take it lightly. And begin to think about what the Lord would have me to preach. I have preached a couple of messages a couple of times, and I thought maybe I'd do one of those over again because you didn't do it. You didn't do what I preached the first time. So. And then I was, I've been thinking about a message and starting to outline it on reasons that I know Jesus wasn't a Democrat. But that got up to 972 points, and I didn't think y'all was up for that this morning. That's going to be a series. Then it occurred to me that he wasn't a Republican either. So that's the second part of that, amen. But Psalm 118 is a great psalm. I want to deal with this a little while this morning. Now, there's four basic kinds of Baptists that I know of. You got your independent Baptist, your Southern Baptist, your free will Baptist, and your free meal Baptist. Some of y'all look like you came here for the free meal. That's all right. I'm glad you're here. Amen. And the psalmist is reflecting upon the goodness of God and how God's done great things for him. And you don't have to be around 50 years serving God like Brother Mosley to reflect on the goodness of God. And I'm thankful for his blessings, his guidance, his faithfulness to us. I can't get over that. Isaiah in chapter 6, y'all make me nervous, so I'm going to kind of ease into this a little bit. Some of you looking at me mean. Isaiah in chapter 6 said he's holy. Then he said it again. And he thought maybe one more time might really, he said he's holy, holy, holy. And it's all because of him, amen. Psalm 118, if you got that, I gave you plenty of time to find that. Look down with me in verse number 21. The psalmist says this, I will praise thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused to become the head headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We'll rejoice and be glad in it. He said, save now, I beseech thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord which had delivered, showed us light, bind the sacrifice with cords, even unto the horns of the altar. Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. O give thanks unto the Lord. For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. What high praise the psalmist is giving to the Father. Boy, he deserves every bit of it, doesn't he? In fact, we don't have the vocabulary to adequately express how good he is. Really don't. Psalm 145, there is a progression of praise to God. And said that he is so good. Said, first of all, he's great. I'm glad for having somebody that's great. He's great at making the sun come up. He's great at giving us air to breathe. And everything we've got, he's great at it. Nobody can say but him. He's great at that. But then he said he was good. I would have thought good would have come before great. This is a progression of things. And you got your small, medium, and large. I don't care what $7 says. I mean Starbucks. Small, medium, and large. Good, better, best. He said he's great, and then he said he's good. I'm glad he's good. You can have a great quarterback. We don't know what that's like around here, but You can have a great, you can have a quarterback that you know can go in with a minute and 32 seconds and no timeouts and get 80 yards and get a touchdown and win the game. He's great. He can get the out patterns. He can manage the clock. He's great. You get the punt from the other team, you got a minute and 32, and you're on the 20-yard line, got 80 yards to go, and you turn to him and say, man, we know you're a great quarterback. Get in there and win this game for us. He said, nah, I don't think I want to. Well, he's no good. He can have the ability to do it, but if he won't do it, what good is he? We got a God that's great at everything. But then he says he's good too. Not only can he do it, he does. That not even have anything to do with the message. I want to go back and pick up this verse where it says in verse 24, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I have experienced some great days. I wasn't around the first day that Brother Mosley became youth pastor. All the progression of things that he did from youth pastor, probably graduated to janitor. Because youth pastor's the lowest. Anything after that to step up, amen. I wasn't here that day, but I've experienced some great days in my life. I remember the day my wife asked me to marry her. I begged her. I remember when our oldest son was born. Boy, when the first one comes along, that's special, isn't it? I mean, we was over at a hospital somewhere in Fort Worth back in 1976, no cell phone. Had a pocket full of quarters. When I found out it was a boy, I got on the phone, started calling. Called mom and dad, said it's a boy. I got wrong numbers, I didn't care. I said, it's a boy. They said, well, you got the wrong number, but we're glad you had a boy. And then our daughter came along, that's pretty good too. And then we had another one, didn't we? Great days. Remember the day that I asked the Lord to save me? Oh, what a great day that was, amen. I never get over that day. I mean, it changed me forever. And it changed my forever for me. I don't think that's the day he's talking about, the day that I got married or the day that I had my son. I'm not even thinking it's the day that I got saved, but I think he's talking about the day that Jesus died at Calvary. Because of that day, this day is possible. Because of that day, my salvation day was possible. Because of that day, when he comes back, it's going to be possible to go with him. It's all because of that day. Got five or six thoughts I want to share with you. Now, I had a big breakfast this morning. I'm not near as hungry as some of y'all, so I just go till I get hungry. Lock those doors back here, I see. We got some flight risk here, I can tell. First of all, don't you see this is a day of the sovereign's design. Notice what he said in verse number 22. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This was designed by the sovereign in heaven. The day that Jesus died on Calvary wasn't just another day of the year, wasn't just another day in existence. Before eternity began, God planned, the sovereign design that one day his son would come and die for you and me at Calvary. A day of the sovereign's design. It didn't slip up on him. He didn't dread getting to that day. In fact, he set his face as a flint to get there, and he longed to get there, and he went there with joy in his heart about it because he was dying for you and for me. A day of the sovereign's design planned in eternity. You know, God's never been surprised about anything. Nothing's taken him by surprise. And by the way, he don't have plan B on anything. Because all of his plan A's work. I have plan G, H, R, L. Sometimes my plan A don't work, preacher. But God's plan A always works. We try to mess with him over it. We try to mess with each other over it, but it's still his plan and it still works. The sun comes up when he says it does. goes down when he says it. The seasons come along when he says they do. Amen. By the way, you don't have to worry about this old earth. There's folk out there wanting to save it. He's got it kept in store. We got the same water Adam and Eve had. Got to save the water. Got to save the... Oh, my God, the same water. He made it to evaporate, purify, condense, rain, and cycle over and over and over. He has not been surprised by anything. He planned this day, the day his son would die, in eternity past. Amen. Planned in eternity. Predicted in the law. Isaiah said, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For it shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And we shall see him. There is no beauty in him that we should desire. He is despised of men and acquainted with grief. We hid as it were our faces from him. You know, even in Isaiah's day, he said there's going to come a son, and he's going to suffer greatly for our salvation. Yeah. It was planned in eternity. It was predicted in the law. It was prophesied by the prophets. Amen. Again in Isaiah, he said, unto us a child is born. Didn't say will be born, because in the mind of God, it had already happened. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a Savior is given. I want to tell you something. That day that Jesus died at Calvary, that was a day of the sovereign's design. I'm glad it wasn't an accident. If that was an accident, then his return might be an accident. The resurrection might be an accident. Heaven might be an accident. But you see, they're not. It was a day of the sovereign's doing. Not the sovereign's design. Number two, it's a day of the Savior's doings. Look at verse 23 again. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We rejoice and be glad in it. I'm glad not only did God plan this day, but the Savior, he came and lived this day for you and for me. Oh, it gives me such great joy. It gives me great joy to know that he loved me enough to come and die for me. Oh, I tell you what, that you say, well, I've never experienced that. Today could be your day. Today could be your, this is the day. It could be, amen. As the day of the Savior's doing, it's a voluntary ministry that he did for me, amen. Philippians 3 said, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant. And being made in the fashion of man, the Bible said he gave himself for you and for me. A day of the Savior's doings, a voluntary ministry. I'm going to tell you something, they didn't pick straws in heaven. He's going to come and die for us at Calvary. They didn't take numbers out of a hat. See who got the terrible job of coming and dying for humanity. No, the Savior said, I volunteer. You know why? Because he loved you. You say, well, nobody's ever told me I was loved. Well, the Bible said, for God so loved the world. And if you're in the world, he loves you. Yeah, you say, nobody's ever told me that I was worth anything. I'll tell you what you're worth. You're worth Jesus giving his life for. That's how much you're worth, amen. It was a voluntary ministry. He did it out of love. He did it out of compassion. He did it out of a great empathy for those of us who could never save ourselves, which is all of humanity. A voluntary ministry. It was a vicarious ministry. That means he didn't die for himself because he had no sin. Pilate said, I find no fault in him. The reason Pilate couldn't find any fault, because there wasn't any fault in him. The perfect, sinless Son of God. So he was dying for you and for me when he went to Calvary. I don't know about you, but I sure am thankful for that. I'm thankful that he loved me in spite of my sin. Are you a sinner? If you're breathing, you're a sinner. The Bible said all of sin comes short of the glory of God. Now we know that God hates sin. We know it up here, but it's hard to get in our heart how much God hates sin. Let me give you an illustration of how I know how much God hates sin. When our oldest son, Brian, died, he was 9 years old. He died in an epileptic seizure. We was in a revival down in Florida. And he passed away that night. Got him to the hospital. They worked on him for hours. Couldn't get him to come around. And he died that night. Now, let me just tell you this. He got saved 8 days before he died. I got a lot to be thankful for. But when he died that night, listen to me, a hatred came into my heart that I never felt before, nor have I felt it since. I was not hating my son. I was not hating the doctors that had no effect on him. I wasn't hating myself, my wife. I hated the disease that was killing my boy. And if epilepsy could have become a touchable, tangible object, I believe I could have crushed it out of existence. I hated that disease. We flew his body back to Fort Worth, drove back in our bus, longest trip we've ever made, and got over to Grapevine, Texas, where we remember the Bethel Baptist Church over there, and had his funeral, and I canceled about 2 months of revival meetings. I just couldn't go preach. I just didn't have it in me. We moved into a little mission house there on the back of the property. The house is still there, and we took about 2 months just to get our lives together and get things, you know, back in the right place before we could go out and hit the road and start preaching again. I spent many a night out on that little concrete porch looking up into the heavens trying to get things right in my mind. One night as I stood there, watched the planes as they circled high above, getting ready to peel off and land over at DFW, I remembered that hatred that I'd felt that night that my son died. Been months since I thought about it, but I remembered it that night. Now, I'm not telling you the Lord spoke to this ear, but he spoke to this ear. And he said, Harold, the way you feel about epilepsy is the way I feel about your sin. Because epilepsy killed your boy, but your sin killed mine. So your sin. Sometimes sin's accidental. Sometimes we see things we don't go looking to see. Sometimes we hear the end of a joke that we didn't really want to hear, wasn't listening for. And God's grace is there for that. Sometimes sin is on purpose. We set aside money and time. This is a sin that God hates. This is a sin that drove him to Calvary. It was a voluntary ministry. It's a vicarious ministry. May I say it's a victorious ministry. Man, a lot of people die. My daddy said this world's so dangerous, only two men have ever got out of it alive, Enoch and Elijah. The third one's probably not here this morning. Oh, the rapture could come and we could beat the Undertaker. If there's ever a guy I'd like to beat out of formaldehyde, it'd be him. I was listening to a fellow in Indianapolis, Indiana, this many years ago, and he was an aggravating sort of fellow, had a kind of an aggravating spirit. I don't know whether you've shaved him or not, but I don't know whether you've dressed her or not, but an aggravating person. Are y'all awake? I said, sir, wouldn't you like to get saved? Wouldn't you like to go to heaven? He said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to die and go to hell and pay for my own sin. I said, well, sir, with that attitude, that's what you'll do. You'll die and you'll go to hell and you'll pay for your own sin, but you'll never get it paid for. You cannot burn long enough to pay for one lie, one sin. Your death will not accomplish anything. But his death accomplished everything. When he died at Calvary, are you listening to me? You go back and look at the Old Testament tabernacle, and all the furniture was there for a specific purpose. I mean, the altar of incense, the table of showbread, and I can't go into all of them, but there was one piece of furniture that was obvious for its absence. There were no chairs because the priest could never sit down because his job was never done. Hebrews 10:12 tells us this, but this man, talking about Jesus, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sin, forever sat down on the right hand of God. He was victorious. His death accomplished something. It satisfied God for sin. Day of the Sovereign's design, a day of the Savior's doings. Number three, it's a day of the saints' delight, the day that Jesus died at Calvary. Have you ever had mixed emotions? Happy and sad at the same time. One fellow told me, he said, mixed emotions is your mother-in-law driving your new pickup over a cliff. Only the men are really laughing there, though. Some elbows. breaks my heart when I read John 19, the price that he paid. The beating and the pulling of the beard and the crowning of thorns and the spitting in his face. What grown man can take men spitting in their face? Again, Isaiah said he was marred more than any man's ever been marred. Breaks my heart to know that he went through that. And at the same time, it thrills me to know he loved me enough to do it. He loved you enough to do it. It's the day of the saints' delight. There's an inward experience. It's called joy unspeakable and full of glory. Happiness happens because of circumstances. Your team wins, you're happy. Your team loses, you're sad. Joy is what lives inside of you, put there by the Father, that never changes over circumstances. An inward experience, amen. Oh, the disciples came to the Lord and said, well, we got power over serpents and we got power to... He said, don't rejoice in that. Rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's what brings joy, to know that he's written my name permanently in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's a day, a delight, an inward experience. I believe when there's an inward experience, there'd be an outward expression. Peter and John going in the temple, and they pass by the man that's lame from his mother's womb. And Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but what I got to give you. He reached down and took him by the hand and lifted him up. The Bible said his ankle bones received strength, and he yawned real big. Looked at his watch and said, well, let's get into church so we can get it over with. That's not what my Bible said. My Bible said he went running and leaping and praising God into the temple, amen. Now, you know he wasn't Baptist because we don't allow that stuff. But the Lord didn't think there's anything wrong with it. We the Baptists got it. We're on the cable system. We got it, but it's underground. Nobody knows it. We want to keep it that way. The Pentecostals and some of them, you know, they got their antennas up. Well, we was here thousands of years before they ever come on the scene, amen. I want to tell you something. Somebody as big as God can't move inside of you and not make a difference on the outside some way. You may not raise your hand. You may not shout. You may just sit with the tears running down your face. But there's got to be an outward expression of that inward experience. A day of the saints' delight. There's an inward experience and an outward expression. When these happen, there comes an upward expectation. One preacher said, I'm not looking for the undertaker, I'm looking for the upper taker. And one of these days, I read this morning in the book of Thessalonians, he's going to come back, and we which are alive, we're going to leave out of this place, amen. An upward expectation. I wrote this down because I didn't think I could remember it. I'm going to meet my boss, lay down the cross, burn the dross, give my counts a toss, count the loss, and mount my horse. I'm going to say that again because you weren't listening. I'm going to meet my boss. Now, I've met him through salvation, but I never got to shake his hand or hug his neck. I'm going to lay down the cross. Whatever cross we bear down here is going to be that. Those burdens are going to be over. I'm going to burn the dross. Everything that I've done for Harold, everything I've done to get patted on the back, that's going to burn up as wood, hay, and stubble. I'm going to give my crowns a toss. Whatever thing I've earned is going to go at the feet of the Savior. I'm going to count the loss. Some folk that I could have influenced to be there that I failed. I'm going to mount my horse. You say, I've never ridden. Don't worry, you'll know when you get there. Because of Calvary. A day of the sovereign's design, the Savior's doing, the saints' delight. It's a day of the sinner's deliverance. Because of that day. Listen, I've been delivered from past guilt. Now, you're looking at old boy this morning. Look, I grew up in a preacher's home. I've never seen Walt Disney. It came on Sunday night, Brother Alfred Dahl. It came on Sunday night, and now it's off, and I don't care about seeing it now. But, I mean, if it's Sunday, we're just going to church. If it's Sunday night, we're just going to church. If it's Wednesday night, we're just going to church. If it's revival, we're just going to church. That's what we did, amen. And I didn't miss anything by being faithful to the house of God. But even though I did all that, I was still a dirty, low-down sinner and deserved to go to a place called hell. Why? There's nothing good in me. None righteous. The best we can do are filthy rags. And I have been delivered from that past guilt. You ask me why I'm happy, so I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. And when I meet the scoffer, and they ask, isn't that good singing? Ask me where they are, I say, my sins are gone. Where are they? I don't know. I don't even care. They're under the blood. I have been delivered from past guilt. There's not a person here today that would want your life put up on that screen. Not all the thoughts you've had, things you've done in secret, things you did and said when you thought nobody was looking. None of us would want all of our life put up there. I've been delivered from all that past. Isn't that wonderful? No. Oh, I'm so glad. I've been delivered from past guilt. I'm being delivered into his presence with singing. You say, how do you get to where God is? Sing. He inhabits the praise of his children. You say, I can't sing good. Go get in the car. Get in the shower. I hear people sound pretty good in there. Get somewhere. You say it's not good to him. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. And to get into his presence, look, before you ever start praying in the morning, look up here. Obey him. Praise him. Thank him for a good night's rest. You say it wasn't that good. Thank him for something. Thank him that your roof didn't leak. Thank him that your air conditioner stayed on. Praise God. I love air conditioning. Praise him for his son. Praise him for the sun up. Praise him. You can get into his presence. Singing and praising. How can you be delivered from the garbage that's going on in this world? I'll tell you something, a man's heart was deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and that includes those of us that are saved. But you listen to the news and you watch the news and you see the garbage that's going on, it will discourage and depress you. But you move into his presence by lifting your voice and thanking him and praising him, amen. The day of the saints. It's a day of the saints' deliverance. I've been delivered from past guilt. I'm being delivered into this presence with singing, and I will be delivered from this present world one of these days. Oh, I tell you what, one of these days, and those of us that are saved, when you got saved, you got this special hearing thing put in your ear you didn't know about. You're going to hear a trumpet one of these days. I guess the other one's not going to hear it, but we're going to hear it. When we're here, I'm out of here. I feel sorry for folk that are so wrapped up in the world that they dread going to heaven. I got a feeling if the Lord's come back and the trumpet sound, there'll be some folks say, Lord, it's the third period. The Cowboys are ahead. Give me 15 more minutes. Let me see if they win this thing. Are you ready? There's a difference between being prepared and being ready. I made preparations a long time ago, 1975. The older I get, the more ready I am. When I was a kid, my dad preached on the second coming, and I didn't want to go. I had things I want to do. There's mud puddles to stomp around in, cats to terrorize. Oh, I was good at terrorizing. You can take the cat by the tip of the tail and run that hair backwards on that cat and make him bite himself. Don't do that, kids. My daughter's got two of them. I terrorize those cats. She said, Daddy, don't you like cats? I said, Baby, I do. I can't eat a whole one, but they're okay. One of these days I'm going to be out of here. That's things I wanted to do when I was a kid, but I'm an old man now. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. This world's not my home. Just passing through. It's the day of the sovereign's design, day of the Savior's doing, day of the saint's delight, day of the sinner's deliverance. Go out one more. Is the day of Satan's defeat. Because of that day at Calvary, he's whooped. Now, you've been whooped twice, but there's one more coming. The first one came in heaven when he said, I'm going to set my throne above the throne of God. We don't know how old the devil was when God kicked him out of heaven. If I was going to guess, I'd say 14. That's about the age that they begin to rebel. I don't like the way Dad's doing it. God kicked him out. He's defeated in heaven. The second defeat came when Jesus made it to the top of that hill. See, the devil tried to kill him before he could get there, because he knew if he ever got up there and became the sacrifice for me and you, he'd be whipped. He's defeated in heaven. He's defeated on the hill. But there's one more coming. And he will be defeated in hell forever. Why? Because of that day. I'm thankful for 50 years of celebration for Brother Mosley and his dear wife. She suffered through all the things that he's gone through. It's true. I'm thankful for that. But not one of those 18,250 days would have been possible if Jesus hadn't gone and died. Some of you retired. But you could never have done that if it hadn't been for that day. Some of you got great careers, got great families, got a great future. But none of that's possible without Jesus going to Calvary and dying for you. Thank God for that day. Would you bow your head and close your eyes for just a few moments this morning? Heads bowed and eyes closed. Well, I have an invitation time, Father.